How did you get involved with this production?
I was reached out. Laura Romney, who's a friend, is one of the producers on this show, and she had just saw a show that I did, The Woodsman, which closed about a month ago, Months and Some Change. And I was told, which was very flattering, after the fact, that they were having meetings trying to figure out how to theatrically figure out the show. And they actually kept talking to Laura about, like, it'd be great if we could do something kind of like The Woodsman or to do that. And she said, well, he's a friend, maybe I can get him involved. So it was really lovely that I was reached out to at all, and the fact that they even wanted to do something similar to something that I had already done. So that was great. But I just had a meeting, and I met with Lou and Josh, and, you know, the script is so much fun. You know, at the same, it is, you know, while it is quite a complicated story about Iraqi vets, it also kicks into this sort of really contemporary pop culture comic book lore that a lot of people know about, and it kind of teases and tickles all those things while still having a really interesting base and heart. So the second I read it, I was like, well, I don't know what they would want me to do, but let's have a meeting and chat, and one thing led to another, and, you know, I'm making a bunch of puppets and scenery and all kinds of fun stuff to help put these, like, larger-than-life characters on a stage and make that fit.
So, like you said before, it was probably flattering to have someone say that they're, like, trying to find ways to kind of, like, incorporate what you do into their production, but how did you kind of like say, okay, The Woodsman was this, but who mourns for Bob the Goon is going to be this? Like, how did you put your stamp on the puppets and on this production, and what was that planning process like for you?
Sure, I mean, the fact that the script called for, you know, there are nightmare sequences that take place in a Mad Max Land of Oz sort of world, and I went, well, that sounds appealing. Not a world that I'm unfamiliar with. And, you know, it was one of those things where the material is what sort of told me what needed to happen. The beginning of the second act, all of the people who, throughout the entire play, believe themselves, have disassociated themselves from reality, and believe themselves to be comic book characters, at the beginning of the second act, they actually are, in a dream, their characters. So the big conversation I kept having with everybody was, so how do you want to do the second act? And the first kind of thing we were talking about was, I mean, I don't even know if it would work, if we could do it. So maybe we just keep them in street clothes. And I just sort of said, well, I mean, you know, I'm here, and I think we can do some really fun stuff. So I did a lot of comic book research, because, of course, I'm a big comic book fan, but the characters in the play, they all believe themselves to be third, fourth, fifth, sixth tier comic book villains or side characters.
Yeah.
So they're really kind of like buried in there. So I had to do a little homework, and luckily the internet's a wonderful place. And there's a lot to these characters, and you know, any one of these characters has a bigger Wikipedia page than like Obama does. So there's so much story that has existed around these characters. So I did a lot of that, and then it was about trying to find a balance between, we know who the characters are in the play, and we know who they want to be, the comic book characters, and sort of where is that Venn diagram center, and what are these characters for them? We do have sort of references to the Joker from Batman in this,
mm-hmm.
And it became a thing of, you know, I think one conversation could easily have been, well, do you want to do the Jack Nicholson, or do you want to do the Heath Ledger? Do you want to do the Jared Leto, or do you want to do the Mark Hamill? And you kind of, but if you just look at the material, the conversation will automatically veer towards, well, actually, this is a nightmare. Any time that he appears in the play, it is in a nightmare sequence. So he shouldn't be any, but he should be all of those Jokers. And the fact that it was ultimately, in answer to your question, it was a script that was the thing that became the stamp for me, the thing that drove me.
Mm-hmm.
That gave you all the parameters you needed, and it was about taking those things that I think comic book fans would know, and then going, but this is what we needed to be for our story. So we do have a larger-than-life Joker that's made out of nightmarish, torn-up, burnt-to-pieces of plastic and things, because he is a manifestation of our main character's Bob's dark side. He is a manifestation of his dark ego, if that makes any sense.
Mm-hmm.
So the fun thing was kind of going, well, we have no time to make all this stuff. We have a lot of stuff to make. How do we crank all this out, make it make sense, make it belong in a larger-than-life world? And it's been this amazing collaboration between myself and Lou and Josh and also Jimmy, the costume designer, in trying to make sure that, you know, the world of the play, which is largely in reality, feels very grounded and earthen. But when we go to these larger-than-life fantasies, that they feel big enough, but big enough that they can actually still fit on that stage. So it was a really fun challenge. It is a really fun challenge. We're still not out of the woods yet.
So how do you guys feel like you're like a week and a half away from debut? So how's that? What's the feeling like in the camp right now? You guys going crazy? Are you calm? Like what's the feeling like right now?
I mean, I would talk more to Lou and Josh about that because we're on every day. I'm mostly designing and then I come in to help puppet the rest. But from my side of the table, I think we're, you know, somebody said a long time ago that tech takes as long as tech needs to take. If you have 3 days, you're going to get the whole show done. If you have 3 weeks, you're going to get the whole show done. So you use the time that you need. You use the time that you have to get the things you need done. As I've sort of learned from long experience. So I would say, I think actually everybody's in great spirits. The cast is so great. They're so excited. And every time that I come in with like, so this is the helmet that Spiral will wear. And Spiral is your X-Men character from the 80s. And, you know, you kind of go, you kind of see all the actors go, oh, wow, great. So you can see them perking up and it just rejuvenates it keeps spirits up, especially in a quick rehearsal process.
So who do you think will enjoy this production the most?
That's a great question. I think, given the fact that the title is The Mourn for Bob the Goon, anybody that's had any experience with the 1989 Batman will recognize Bob the Goon, I would imagine.
Yeah.
So that will probably draw people in. I was a big advocate, as I sort of mentioned early on, for going, let's go full fantasy when we go to these fantasy scenes. Let's get everybody in these looks. Let's make them look like their characters. Let's theatricalize some of these characters that are larger than life. Because I think the audience will expect, that our audiences that hear the title alone will expect us to show up to that table. So I sort of think, you know, and it's funny, I started with having this conversation with somebody else the other day. I find it to be true that, you know, theater nerds, which, you know, are everywhere, I am one of them, oftentimes are also comic book nerds. I found that to be also true. Musical theater in the world of comic books are not too far away, in a odd way. So I actually think it tends to speak to a wide audience. Yes, there's a lot of heavy weight that comes from the Iraqi war, that story, but there also is so much fun to be had, and everybody in some way has some relationship to these characters, whether or not they remember. Oh, right, that's a character from the X-Men animated cartoon show from the 80s that I used to watch Saturday mornings when I was 7. So I think everybody's going to have some nice surprises if they show up to the theater.
Okay, last question for me. Why do you think someone should see it?
I think ultimately, the story is about, you know, so much of the story is built around these characters and a psychologist who is trying to wean them off of their fantasies. And the conversation, and there's a big conversation, there's a debate in the play of whether or not fantasy is necessary. And, you know, I think it's left a little ambiguous. I mean, I, for one, am team, it's completely necessary, and there is power in, you know, innovation can only come from imagination, and I think you have to start somewhere, and even if it is, I am Superman, that still counts. So I think the play is dealing with those issues and talking about those things and getting into some really exciting territory about the power of one's own imagination to make them better or worse, depending on how it's used. So I think this will need stuff there for everybody.